Take a listen to Bill O'Brien yesterday when he was asked about the status of Lonnie Johnson heading into training camp.
Is the expectation that Lonnie Johnson will be ready to start training camp?
I don't know. No idea.
People think Bill O'Brien says nothing at press conferences. That is saying a lot. And I'm sitting
here.
Did he
ask about his health or ask about just where he is? I think, I don't know.
He did not seem happy.
I'm listening to the press conference yesterday, and now I'm looking through everything through the lens of, like, how much did he know about these charges that were going to get filed tampering-wise?
I don't know. No idea.
He seemed fine other than a couple answers.
I tried to read into it, and he didn't seem distracted or anything. Did they know? I was out there I was talking to people yesterday. It didn't seem like there was a pall over the place or anything at practice.
No, not at all.
It didn't seem, I don't think anybody had a clue this was coming. I think they thought, like, oh, we're just doing business as usual, and here we go. Who's it? Bob Kraft's not going to be one to try to bring more legal
Incorrect.
Attention to himself at this point.
O'Brien was also dismissive when he was asked about Bradley Roby a little bit earlier, because yeah. Roby was first out there at OTAs essentially this week. It was the first time that we saw him. And I'm sitting here, and I'm looking at this cornerback depth chart, Seth, and I know so much of the focus, obviously, this week and the upcoming weeks will be the off-field stuff and a GM search for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
But this is a major, major, major problem. Lonnie Johnson has to contribute for this football team. Otherwise, I'm looking at this cornerback group, and unless Colvin gets it going or Roby does a solid job, this has to be one of the worst cornerback groups in the NFL, period.
Yeah. One of the worst?
Yes,
there's
one of the worst.
There's some pretty bad ones
out
there.
Are there?
Now, they weren't a good – they opened one of the worst cornerback groups.
Yes.
Given the rookies and inexperience and given Aaron Colvin's performance last year, it might be. It's bottom – it could potentially be bottom third.
I mean, there's
You know what's notable to me? Is, like, of all the veteran players, almost all, like, the bona fide veteran players did not participate in OTAs in minicamp. Jonathan Joseph was out there every damn practice.
Yes, he was.
Part of that's just, I think, Jonathan Joseph being, like, the consummate professional. But I wonder how much of it was, these guys need all the help they can get.
Yes.
We need J.J.O. out there, like, getting these guys right. Because, was there anybody else over the age of 30 out there? I mean, J.J. wasn't out there. Hardly ever. There was not a ton of
players over the age of 30.
Very little,
in general.
Yeah, that's true. But very little age out there. DeAndre wasn't out there at all. You know, Will Fuller was rarely out there, and when he was last week, it was just as an observer more than anything.
I mean, if Lonnie Johnson is not ready to play this season, which I guess, again, that could make sense based on the kind of draft pick that he is.
Yeah.
Where it's more based on upside than what he's able to contribute now, but I'm going to have an almost impossible time picking this team to make the playoffs in August, because I'm looking at this team, and I texted you and Wade Smith this last night. This team right now, it's not an exact comparison. This reminds me of the 2010 Texans. They will score a lot of points, even with the questions on the offensive line. If Deshaun's healthy, they will put up a lot of points, especially against the teams that they play. They'll get into some shootouts,
Yeah. But
they're not going to actually win a lot of games because they will not be able to stop anybody unless Watt and Clowney and Merciless are dominant every week.
It's not that they wouldn't be able to. No, because I think you saw what happened last year.
They
struggled with pass defense. They were a poor pass defense last year. When they played teams that could only run the ball, the Texans beat those teams. When they played teams that could pass the ball, the Texans lost to those teams. You could almost like put a dividing line down the schedule by quality of quarterback, because that's exactly what happened. And that's exactly how they were constructed. And I think they're going to be constructed defensively much the same way this year. So, yeah, is Brian Gaines' legacy, Brian Gaines' short term with the Texans might not even be tied to the offensive line as much as the defensive secondary. It might not be tied to the offensive line as much as the defensive secondary.
And the difference between last year and this year is the schedule is a lot tougher.
Right, they've got more of those actual good quarterbacks this year.
I mean, you go up and down the schedule.
They got Ryan Tannehill this year twice.
And, you go up and down the schedule, and it's hard to find easy games against teams that can't really throw the football.
Yeah.
They will have to stop the pass, because if I'm a team that's facing the Houston Texans this season, I'm going to line up, and I'm just going to attack the cornerbacks all day.
Well, welcome to the party, Mike. I feel like you've been defending this defensive back group.
And
the improvements that Brian Gain has made. Am I getting that wrong? I don't know. Like, the Bradley Roby, I guess you haven't.
I don't think I have.
But it feels like all of a sudden you're coming to this revelation.
Well, yes.
I guess you somehow expected Lonnie Johnson to be good immediately. That's what you're hoping
for. I expected O'Brien to be a little bit more optimistic than we just heard him.
He doesn't like talking about rookies, but I'd say
from
watching Lonnie Johnson in practice, every single time I'm like, oh yeah, he's got a lot of work to do.
Yes.
Like he's got a lot of work to do. I see the raw potential. I see the size. I see the speed. I see all of that. But if you're going to stick him out there versus T.Y. Hilton at any point this season, it's going to be a whole lot of clown masks.
The reason why I'm in panic mode now is when we were talking about the defense before anything actually started, like, it's all on paper. And then I go out there and it's like, okay, Bradley Roby's not there. And Lonnie Johnson, we saw out there for one day, basically 2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And that's it. So the guys who are out there are Jonathan Joseph and Aaron Colvin and a bunch of really young guys. Mm. And I'm looking at that and I'm like, that is not the recipe to win games this season.
Right.
They can't win like that.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you guys that right now. They can't win like that. They cannot win like that. Unless Watt and Clowney are just dominant every single week.
Yeah, but even then, you still have to be able to cover on the back end.
Exactly.
So they're in for a rough hoe.
They're in for
potentially.
Or
the other side of it is that you can just have a really good offense. Then it doesn't matter as much. You
can win games
if you have a prolific offense. So don't leave that out of it.
No,
if Deshaun Watson is incredible and they actually start clicking and maybe the offensive line improves to at least average somehow, then I feel like you can win games. You're just going to have to do it with shootouts.
I think they can win games. I just don't know if they can win 10.
Right.
That's my big thing.
Unless you got an incredible offense.
I think the offense can be good.
Defense last year.
I think the offense can be good.
So Kansas City last year, they won a bunch of games.
Their
defense was trash.
This is true. They had the MVP.
Yeah, quit. You can't have everything perfect. You can't have your cake and not tamper with
perfect.
It, too. Right.
Can I have my second-round pick not be dismissed by the head coach on June 12th?
Can we trade Lonnie Johnson for Nick Caserio?
My God.
Will the Patriots take that?
Like, I don't know.
Frankly, I don't feel like I like Lonnie Johnson as a person. He seems like a delightful young man. I don't want to send him off up to New England and Bob Kraft and that den of iniquity. Who knows what's going to happen?
The Texans.
You can't blow all your money on hot oil massages.
The Texans have been accused of tampering by the Patriots over trying to hire Nick Caserio. So the NFL is going to open an investigation. We had a text. Can you guys explain what exactly the definition of tampering is? And what's at stake if the Texans are found guilty? So the policy says, and I quote, any interference by a member club with the employer-employee relationship of another club or any attempt by a club to impermissibly induce a person to seek employment with that club or with the NFL is impermissible. So I think that the key thing there is interference and induce. Interference and induce. those are the key words.
Right. So you're interfering with... Well, I mean,
you can try to hire people from elsewhere, but you have to do it above board.
Right. You have to request an interview.
Mm-hmm.
So their biggest complaint would be, and this would be the one question I'd have is the timing of the game fire. Doing it in June is a little atypical, but I think doing it in June last week as opposed to this week, that's what's interesting to me.
And why was the need to do that?
Well, yeah, exactly. Why would you do it last week versus you do it this week after minicamp is over, everything's quieted down, the players aren't around, and there's the press isn't there every single day?
Yep.
Then it would make a lot more sense. Was it as simple, and this is where the timing gets dicey, okay, the Texans may have been going above and beyond in being exemplary and trying to be Eagle Scouts in that maybe they thought, well, we know that Caserio and Easterby talked to each other on Thursday. It's going to look bad if we don't put in this formal request and then fire Brian Gain or whatever. Let's be sure we do everything above board. Let's put in a formal request and see what happens and get rid of Gain immediately. But in doing so, that looks sketchy as hell.
It looks very sketchy.
Or the opposite side is like, okay, maybe they did have a conversation and somebody overheard it. And now the Texans are thinking, all right, we got to be sure we're doing this by the book. Let's fire our GM, then we'll start a search. We'll put in the request for Caserio, and here we go. Well, like, it could be anywhere on that spectrum. It could go from trying to be above and beyond virtuous to just at the very basement, it's at the basement, which is tampering, not like the deep, deep down basement of sex crimes and whatnot. But that's where I am on this. This basically what I'm telling you is this could be any one of 1,000 different things, and that's what's so exciting about it.
Now, at this point, though, the Texans can definitely be questioned for why they chose to fire Gain last Friday. Because that seems a little unnecessary, given that nothing needs to happen with a GM right now.
Somebody, I don't know if he said this publicly or not, so I won't say his name. But somebody had said, "Is this a no on the interview request? Is this can we take that as a no?" I don't think we ever officially got a response from the Patriots as to whether we could interview Nick Caserio or not.
Yeah, that's another part I'm wondering, and I'm also worried that because of this, the Texans will be a little bit nervous and now somehow stop the pursuit of Nick Caserio and feel like they have to hire a GM now.
Got to go after him. This is like when her daddy says no. I'm like, no. If Casario's daddy is saying no, that makes us that much more attractive.
Okay.
We're the bad boy now. Casario's sitting there in his room, braiding his hair, and he's like, he's just thinking about like, oh, the Texans are so dreamy, but daddy won't let me go. And I just wish my life wasn't so hard and I could just go be with my dream boy, the Texans. This is perfect. We're the bad boy now.
We're the bad boy.
We're the bad boy, and old Bobby Kraft is the dowdy grandpa who's domineering, and he wants Nick Caserio to stay on the family farm.
All right, we're the bad boy now. Okay. I'm just worried the Texans are going to do something that is ill-advised, like not pursue Caserio or
there's a very good chance of that.
Or yeah, they do something like, hey, we got to hire a GM now. You don't have to do anything. It's June 13th. You don't have to do anything. You don't need a GM right now. You don't need a general manager.
You know what they need is a character coach for Nick Easterby. Jack Easterby. They need a character coach, a bad character coach. I think the problem is that Jack Easterby is this virtuous dude who probably like dipped his toe into the waters of tampering without even realizing it, because he doesn't tread in these waters regularly. Yeah. He's unaccustomed. It'd be like if I went and asked like Joel Osteen to shoplift. He'd be like, he'd go in and he'd be like all nervous and he'd be looking around and everything. He wouldn't know what to do with himself, you know? So if Jack Easterby was trying to tamper at all, he's going to be clueless. He needs a bad character coach. So he needs somebody like a Jerry Glanville to come in here and be like, teach him how to act like a badass. Hey, teach him how to walk in this world.
Jack Easterby doesn't believe in tampering.
Yeah.
He doesn't believe tampering is a thing that happens.
Can it be tampering if the Lord was telling you to do it?
Exactly.
That'll be his defense.